Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Good morning, church family. We're so glad you're with us today. You know, I am mindful that you can choose to go to church anywhere you want to, and you've chosen to come here. And I'm so grateful that you have, because you're about to be impacted by God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, his word will endure forever. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Two different passages of scripture we're going to look at. We'll read Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. Then we're going to go later on in the message to 1 Peter chapter 5. So here we go. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, reading from the New International Version as we continue in a series on vision, because without vision, people perish. But without vision, people perish. With vision, people prosper. People grow. You've got to have vision. Here we go. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 through 10. Let's read the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You've not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. Verse 6, my sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search out for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I'll remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, move in great power today. Come on, lift your voice. Move in power today. Thank you for your word that goes forth and doesn't return void. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're getting close to the Thanksgiving holiday, and as we get close to the holidays, I am so grateful for the modern technology of FaceTime and for Zoom. I'm so grateful to be able to see my little granddaughter right in front of me on my phone, or to be able to talk to you and different ones, even as I'm in Israel. It's a beautiful thing, and to talk to family who's thousands of miles away on a Zoom call, to be able to have fellowship with them. And it's not the same. Being on screen or being before someone through modern technology is not the same as being live and in person. But I'm very grateful for it. We live now in a global village. We live in a global village, meaning because of technology and AI, we leave behind many things that you might not be aware of. This text is talking about these agrarian illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. We leave behind our agrarian roots and we've lost many of the insights and the illustrations that the Lord gives us in Scripture as a result of that. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, today most people, instead of being out working in the fields, of course they're still farmers, but many people sit behind a desk. Many people sit behind a computer. Many people do different kinds of work rather than animal husbandry. So the pictures like the wheat and the threshing floor are lost. Pictures like the grapes and the wine press are lost. Pictures like the one that we just read, the shepherd and the sheep, can be lost. And so this passage is so profound, because in the passage it's talking about the shepherds that have failed. Shepherding in the first century is very different than shepherding now. Now we have electric fences, we have different methods, but biblical days, it was a dangerous job. You say, what was dangerous about it? Well, you had the lion and the bear. When you think about David, as he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd, he took the lion by the beard and he killed it. I mean, wow. He didn't have a .45-70 to kill the lion. He had a slingshot to take and run the bear off. David was a good shepherd. I can't help but think, when we read this passage about the good shepherd, and 1 Peter, which we're going to go to in a little moment, talks about what a good shepherd is. But Ezekiel prophesies here in this chapter 34, verse 23 and 24. He says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. It's a messianic text. And he will tend them and he will be their shepherd. Verse 24. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Really, Jesus ties into this in John 10, that he says, I am the good shepherd. So shepherds had problems in the first century. Shepherds had problems in the Old Testament. I mean, shepherds have problems today. But in context, shepherds had two problems, and you see right in the notes, the two problems shepherds had was, one, the scattering of sheep, or the sheep getting lost. That's a problem. Sheep would wander off, and a shepherd would have to go and find them and bring them back. On some occasions, when there's certain sheep that would wander off, they would break the leg of that sheep so it couldn't wander off anymore. It does remind me of a story. When I was in Molokai, I first got there and they called me and said, Pastor, we're giving you a cow. I said, praise God. It's going to grow and get big. We'll fatten that thing up and you'll kill it and you'll have a bunch of steaks. I said, praise the Lord. About a week later, they called me and said, Pastor, we're killing your cow. Come and check it out. I'm like, well, what happened? Well, he's jumping over the fences. And he's teaching all the other cows to jump over the fences, and it's a problem, so we have to dispatch your cow. So I went down there, they dispatched the cow. Shepherds wouldn't dispatch a sheep necessarily, but they would do certain things to make sure that they wouldn't be scattered. If they wandered off, they would go look for them. That's what passage that Jesus says, I leave the 99 to save the one, in that illustration. And that's what a good shepherd would do. Another problem that they would have, shepherds would have, is about being attacked by a predator. There's two kinds of shepherds. There's protectors and predators. In fact, that's what I've entitled this message, Protector or Predator. In the series of vision, shepherds, protector, or predators, which one are they? And before you think that you're dismissed from that, all of us are shepherds of some sort, but I've gotten ahead of myself. So the scattering of the sheep, the attacking of a predator, and the reality is how you respond to the sheep in times of trouble when they face difficulties as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader, will show whether you're a true shepherd or a false shepherd. Will show whether you're a protector or you're a predator. Whoa. The shepherd could be true or false, right in your notes. A false shepherd was called a hireling. It's called a what? A hireling. That means that they were just hired. They weren't really called. they were hirelings. Hirelings would just, if there's trouble, they just leave and go find another flock. Today in church world, many pastors throw in the towel after a few years and just go try again somewhere else. That's not who we are. That's not what we've done, nor will we ever. And that's not the kind of churches that we lead or plant. We believe in calling. We believe in true shepherding. And there are, in fact, those who are false shepherds. And they will just leave and go on to another place. A real shepherd will fight on behalf of the sheep. A real shepherd will fight on behalf of the sheep. So Ezekiel 34 here, God is speaking to Israel's leaders to understand the context, and he's rebuking them. He calls them shepherds. They were false shepherds. They were predators. And he rebukes them. And verse 2 and 3, he said they serve themselves instead of the sheep. Woe to the shepherds of Israel. Woe. In the Hebrew, that's hoi. The Hebrew word is hoi. Oy, it's a sense of grief. It's a sense of sorrow, and it carries with it a weight of judgment. So woe to the hoy to the shepherds. It's a sense of judgment. It's a lament, a divine lament, and a prophetic warning. Crazy. And he's warning them. It's a great tragedy that shepherds were called to care for the sheep, but they're caring for themselves, and the prophet's rebuking them. They failed to do their job. Look at verse 4 with me. They failed to do the job of taking care of the sheep. You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. So you did not bring back the strays. They didn't do the job of a shepherd. Now, before you start shaking your finger and saying, oh yeah, I knew a shepherd, I knew a pastor like that, I knew somebody like that. Be very careful, because I'm going to bring it home. I'm not just talking to pastors here. I certainly am talking to pastors also, but I'm talking to you, and I'll explain that in just a moment. They didn't bring back the strays in the notes. They didn't bring back the strays. They didn't strengthen the weak or heal the sick. They treated them harshly. See, they treated them harshly or brutally. That's not what a shepherd should do. The shepherd were scattered, verse 5. Look at this. So they were scattered. So as a result of the way they treated the sheep were scattered. I heard somebody say to me, you know, Pastor, I don't know why the Lord calls his people sheep. Well, he's a good shepherd. Yeah, but sheep are dumb. No, sheep really aren't all that dumb. Really are what they are is they're dependent. And we are all dependent upon the good shepherd to care for us. The good shepherd who makes us lie down in still waters. We need the good shepherd. And the good shepherd has good under shepherds, of which you are called to be, as am I. The shepherds were going to be judged if you look at verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. Wow. I'll remove them from tending the flock and the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their hands. They will no longer be food for them. And finally, it's this prophetic word, which we didn't read, but it's the same passage. Oh, I did read it. Verse 23 and 24. It's a prophetic word over the good shepherd that would come. And Jesus fulfills that and answers in verse 23 and 24 that he's going to send forth the shepherd that would take care of these things. All right. Turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And now I'm going to read 7 verses here in the text. 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. To the elders, are you ready? To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Wow, there's glory to be revealed. Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing. Let's all say that together. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Being what? Being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you should clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be a good shepherd. Verse 2, be a shepherd. Shepherd of God's flock. That's our first point. The second thing I see in this, be a true shepherd. A true shepherd has a willingness to serve, not because he must. You know, people that I know that went into the ministry and look for something out of it, look to get something out of it, like what's in it for me? Those are very challenging people to work with. I'm not here because there's something in it for me, although God has blessed me greatly and will continue to as we serve him. That's just the word. No, we do what we do because we're called to do it. And in your own heart, you might think that you're dismissed from what I'm talking about right now, but all of us have impact. All of us have influence. All of us are called to be shepherds of some sort and to be true shepherds. A true shepherd must not be greedy for money. Everybody say, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy for money. That's a disqualification if you are. And I get angry, as I said, over people who have this attitude about what do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? They prostitute the gospel. It's a sad thing. A true shepherd must not lord over people, but instead be an example. Verse 3. And again, you're thinking, you're not talking to me. No, I am. We have a lot of pastors that are here in the church, of course, and a lot of pastors part of our legacy council, but there's a lot of pastors that watch this broadcast. And they look for leadership. I endeavor to provide that by the grace of God. It's not just talking to pastors, it's talking to fathers, it's talking to mothers, it's talking to brothers, it's talking to sisters, because all of us lead in some capacity and we need to care one for another. All of us need to shepherd and care. Do you know who's sitting next? Don't look at the person next to you because it'd be awkward right now. But do you know who's sitting next to you? Do you know their name? Do you know the difficulty they might be going through or the victory that they're experiencing? I'm trying to cast vision this morning that each and every one of us need to care for each other. Some people say, I don't like a large church. I want to stay in a smaller church. I understand why that is. Mostly the reason is because in a smaller church, you can have closer, intimate relationships. But the truth is, we have to reach the lost, and we're going to continue to grow even to 10% of the population. But we must keep the heart and the heart of God to be shepherds one to another, that develops relationships with each other, that cares for people. Where's the person that, you know, that person that you met about 4 weeks ago and now you don't see them? Where are they? Connect with people. Get to know people. Be like the good shepherd. You say, well, there's some people that I don't see anymore. Go look for them. We have a whole department called a Connect Department that endeavors to reach out to those who are not here and endeavors to reach to those who've been scattered. We have 190 life groups approximately, and those life groups are a means by which of taking care of people, discipling them, and pastoral care. It is the only way that we can take care of the thousands of people that are coming. But don't just see yourself as someone who's being shepherded or led. Shepherded? Is that a word? or led. Become someone who's actually leading and helping and serving. Be a good shepherd yourself. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen. So how are you doing with the person sitting next to you every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, the person you're serving with in media, the person you're serving as a part of the marriage team, the person you're serving with at the cafe, the person you're serving with at King's Kids or young adults or youth. Are you getting to know them? Please do it. Break down those barriers. Go get a cup of tea. Go get a cup of coffee. Share a meal. Sit down. Get to know one another. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because if we don't do that, we'll miss out. And we want to be people that truly live the life of Christ, that love one another. I'm casting vision this morning to be a church that cares. A church that reaches out not only to the community. Thank you for all of the outreach to the community. We're seeing great, great, great things. Thank you for what took place on October 31st and the family fun night and the marriage event that just took place last weekend and all the different things that are coming up. And now Thanksgiving's just around the corner. And I look forward to preaching a special Thanksgiving message to you as we come back from Israel. But God's speaking to us this morning. He's speaking to us with crystal clear clarity. What is he saying? As Christians, we're called to be shepherds in some way. We're called to be a shepherd in some way. But what you say, why is that? Because the good shepherd lives on the inside of us. The good shepherd lives on the inside of us. And because he lives on the inside of us, we're supposed to care. We're supposed to reach out. I remember years ago, people calling me. It's before I was a leader. It's before I met Pastor Karen. It's before I got married. I was not exactly faithful to church. And I remember this brother, his name was Randy. And he came up to me and he just got right in my face, got right up in my grill and said, "There's a men's meeting coming up. You need to go." I'm like, "Oh, thanks." And I tried to get away and he shook my hand. He said, "No, I can see. You really need to be there. Would you please come, Daniel? Please come to the men's meeting. It'll change your life." I'm like, okay. I just said, okay. I lied. I wasn't going to come. I had no plans on coming. Then he called me. Then he invited me again. Then he saw me again and somebody else invited me. And I know that Randy sent that guy to talk to me. And then they paid for my ticket to go to the men's event. I'll never forget it. And little did I know that that men's event was going to be a watershed moment for my life and for all the men that then went. We took a ferry to Molokai for the men's event. And we traveled over the Molokai Channel and we went to Molokai. I did not know that years later I'd be made the pastor of that place. That's the first time I met Pastor Robert, who eventually took over after we pastored there. Pastor Robert took my place. We went and Brother Dick Mills, how many of you ever heard of Brother Dick Mills? Brother Dick Mills, all of us old timers remember Dick Mills. He would prophesy using scripture. He would give you a scripture quote. In fact, he gave me Habakkuk 2, which is one of the main scriptures for this series. Write the vision down. Write it on tablets. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. That was a word that he gave me at that meeting in Molokai. And it impacted my life so profoundly. Somebody cared enough for me to invite me to a men's meeting. Somebody cared enough for me to invite me to a life group. Actually, it was my mother who said I had to go. And I was living with her back then and it was mandatory. Come on, some of you ought to mandatorily make your kids go to a life group. That's a good idea. Get training. There was a shepherding and a care for me that caused me to become the man of God that I am. I've gone through difficulties, and many of you have as well. I don't know how you go through difficulties in life without a church family. I don't know how you go through difficulties in life without having someone who will really reach out and care for you and love on you and pray for you and people that you can call when you're hurting, people that you can call when you celebrate, when you're rejoicing over things. A number of weeks ago, we had parents and pastries. And parents came to the King's Christian School. And as they came, I was going to be sharing a brief message along with Pastor Kimmy and others. And as I'm there and the kids are singing in worship and people are leading them in worship, the power of God coming down on the King's Christian School, I began to weep because I'm seeing a fulfillment of vision. I've seen that in a vision, but I was then seeing it live in person. I began to ugly cry. Anybody know what that means? That's like when you want to cover your face because it looks ugly. When you're crying, I walked out of the room and I called my shepherd. I called Dr. James Morocco, not to tell him I was in trouble, not to tell him what difficulty I was having. I called him to tell him, oh, I am rejoicing. It was a top 10 moment for me in the fulfillment of vision for King's Cathedral and Chapels, Alaska, to see the school birth and to see God's power coming down with all these 135 students and parents. Come on, God is amazing, and he wants us to reach out and celebrate, and he wants us to reach out and help those who are in need. We're called as Christians to shepherd in some way. Fathers, mothers, brothers, keepers. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. You should know what people are going through to care enough to do it. So who are you shepherding as we move along now, as God's speaking to us? Who are you caring for? Who is in the pen or the flock of your care? It doesn't mean you lord that over them, of course not. But you care for people, reach to people, get to know people. And we are doing that here at King's Alaska, and I'm so grateful. But we're going to go to another level. We're going to go to another level in youth. We're going to go to another level at King's Kids. We're going to go to another level here in the main service. We're going to go to another level with Legacy, the Legacy Council. Legacy Council is pastors and evangelists, people that have been in full-time ministry. They've gone on to retire, and I found that they're like scattered. They don't have a place, many of them, that they can serve. And so Pastor Dwayne McKenzie and myself, we came up with this idea, and Pastor Wilson, a part of that, and many others, and we gathered this Legacy Council, and we're taking time to encourage one another, and then they're going out. They're beginning to minister again and go to the hospitals and be that good shepherd, that representative to go out and help people that on a dark and a cloudy day, and God is using them. If you know a pastor that's retired and they're feeling like they're lost in the sauce, you invite them, and we've got a place for them. That's all part of shepherding. Who are you shepherding? Are you a predator? Or are you a protector? Are you a true shepherd? Are you truly loving people, sir, ma'am, brother, sister? Or are you doing things to get your own personal needs met? And who are you shepherding? What kind of shepherd are you? Moving on. Are you scattering or are you gathering? We want to gather. We don't want to scatter. Are you a protector or are you a predator? Are you giving or are you taking? Are you hungry to serve? Or are you irritated that you have to do something? You mean, Pastor Bracken, are you asking me to do one more thing? Totally, yes. I'll ask you to do more than one more. I'll ask you to do two or three more things. And you want to go to a place like that. You want to go to a church where they get you going. You don't want to just go to a place that you just get to rest and rest on your laurels and everything's great. No, you want to start serving and get involved in some way. So that when you stand before him, you hear, well done. I am preparing you for the one day when you will stand before him. This is a prophetic word to Israel and their leaders and how they were failing. It's a declarative word from 1 Peter 5 about how we should be. It's a moment to pause in the vision today to say, how am I leading? How am I? You say, well, I'm not leading anything here. You're leading somebody. And are you doing it for your own gain? Are you doing it for the glory of God? We want to be people who are hungry to serve, not upset that we have to. And if you're upset that you have to, something is wrong with your relationship with Jesus. Are you domineering or are you leading by example? Domineering or leading by example? You want to lead by example. Jesus never led with anger. God does get angry. His wrath was released upon his son, Jesus. That's why you can have salvation. That's why you can be born again. All right, what keeps us moving on? What keeps us from being the shepherd that God wants us to be? Well, fear of people is one of those things. You said, people, they've hurt me so many. I know, and they probably will again. You need to have boundaries with certain people, but people need healing. People need help. I love Pastor Karen's heart for people. She truly loves people, and I do too, but sometimes, well, she's just better at it. I'm growing up. Anybody else still growing up? She's just so kind. Even with folks that want to take advantage, she's like, well, they just need healing. They just need healing. And it's true. But people, you know, I'm not going to psychoanalyze you today. The Holy Spirit can show you things that you need to change. There's certain aspects of my personality that I don't particularly care for. And I think the Lord doesn't particularly care for it either. And he puts his finger on things, and maybe God's putting his finger on the selfishness of your own heart right now. He puts his finger on things in my life, and you know why he does it? Not for condemnation, no. He does it so I can be healed. God wants you. He wants me. He wants us to become more like him. He wants us to love people. And that can be challenging. What are some of the things that hold you back? What are some of the things that keep you from serving? What are some of the things? Years ago, I was in Kauai. This powerful leader. I mean, I could see it on him. And he's this powerful business leader. His wife was also a powerful business leader with him. And I asked him, I said, I want you guys on the team. They said, no. No, we won't be doing that. I said, how come? We joined a church once. We were members of a church once, and we served, and that did not work out well at all. We're never doing that again. I said, what? But what about all these giftings that you have? You could be powerfully used here. No, I'm never going to serve like that again. I said, so you're just going to come to church? He says, yes. I said, well, I'm glad you're coming. And I let it go. What he didn't realize was that the enemy was hindering what God wanted to do through him. Don't make permanent decisions about the past shepherd that you were under, or the past experience that you had, or the past brokenhearted rejection that you went through. You can be healed, and God wants to raise you up to be powerfully used by God to care for people. You know what I found? I found this, that we are some of the only Jesus some people will ever see. You're the only Jesus some people will ever see. Love people. Care for people. Don't let your fears hold you back. Certainly don't be a predator. And if you found yourself to be in that category, repent. Let's be true shepherds. Let's be true protectors. Let's guard over each other with a godly fear and a humility. Not leading people with a domineering spirit or trying to control anybody. I'm allergic to people trying to control me, and I think some of you are too. Alaskans are allergic to people trying to control them. But being led, people crave leadership. I know I do in my life, and I know that's just part of the nature of who we are. God is a good shepherd, and he does raise up others. You all. He's raised you up to be a good shepherd. Take your place. Take your place and begin to care for people like you never have before. Go the extra mile, if you will. Not for the accolades of men, but because we've been commanded to do it, as 1 Peter 5 talks about. Amen. Would you put your hands together for Jesus all across the place? Wonderful, wonderful, mighty God. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you, and then if you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to invite you to do that now. Let me pray for you. Would you just lift your hands to heaven? Because all of us can be a better leader. You say, well, I'm like 16 years old. What am I leading? You're at school. You're making an example for those that are younger. Yes, it doesn't matter. All of us can shepherd in some way, and not for greed, and not for being a predator for our own gain, but to be a protector, to be God's hand extended. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this incredible congregation, that you've raised up this beautiful people to lead, to love one another. And out of that love, the world will know them as it says in John 17. I pray for pastors. I pray for leaders. I pray for life group leaders, assistants, and hosts. I pray for pastors that are watching online and our legacy council and all the ministers and pastors here. Each and every one of us would see our God-given calling, not as a burden, but it's a great privilege to be able to care for your people, to be under shepherds, to love one another deeply from the heart. And that out of that, a wave of supernatural blessing and the care of the good shepherd would be released through us. As we celebrate victories, as we even weep with those who weep, we thank you for a church that is filled with good shepherds. Use us, O God, powerfully to reach to this community and beyond for the glory of God, to see people discipled and raised up, to see the naked clothed, the hungry fed, the lost, those that have been scattered, I pray, come home. I pray, God, that you would come upon us with a burden for those that are out there even now that we don't see anymore. Lord, bring them back to the house of God. I pray healing for their hearts and a restoration to the body. I thank you. And for all those who went through abusive leadership in a previous church, those who are struggling with church hurt, I say welcome home and be healed of your wounds now. Forgive those of the past and take your place in this great flock of God here. Thank you for all that you've done this morning and in all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to be reconciled unto God. There is a place that's called hell, and it was not created for you. It's created for the devil and his demons. And one day, God, with one angel, is going to take a chain and wrap it around the ugly one, the father of lies, and throw him in the lake of fire. But right now, you need to examine your heart. Where are you with God? Are you forgiven? Have you repented? Have you believed on the Lord? Everyone is made in his image, but not everyone is his child. It says in the Bible, to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Are you God's child? Have you received him? If you haven't, do it now. Do it today for the very first time. You're going to give your heart to Jesus. You've never done it before. I implore you. I plead with you on Christ's behalf to give your heart to Jesus for the very first time. Or secondly, you used to live with all your heart for God, but you know right now you're not as on fire as you used to be. And you need to come home. You need to repent and recommit your life to Christ. Online, those here, if you fit in that category, giving your heart to Jesus for the first time, or secondly, make a recommitment to him, all across this place, again, those online, those listening by Spotify, those listening on YouTube, give your heart to Jesus, first time, recommit, lift your hand if that's you. God bless you. Lift your hand high, unashamed. Lift your hand high. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you all stand up on your feet all across this place? If you raise your hand and you want to get right with God for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment, there's going to be many people praying with you. But I invite you now to pray this prayer out loud, because it's with your heart that you believe and your mouth that you confess, said the Apostle Paul, unto salvation. Pray with me, whether you raised your hand or you didn't. Pray with me right out loud. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. And I ask you today to forgive me, to wash me, to cleanse me of all of my sin. I repent. I turn from the world. I turn from the things of shame and darkness. And I give my life to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands all across this place as I pray for those who made a recommitment and those who gave their lives to Christ. Holy Spirit, come and touch these. Let your fire come, your power, your anointing. Break every stronghold, break every tie, break every curse. Let them be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, would you put your best hand clap together for God? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome. We're so glad you prayed. On the screen, if you would let us know, you text us at 357-907-357-2065. Text SAVED to that number, and we will follow up with you. Or you can see us at the Next Steps desk. We'll have a team there that'll minister to you. I hope you receive something from the Lord. Would you put your hands together for Jesus one more time as my staff comes to close us this morning? Praise God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.